of the one holy and living God. Amen. Please be seated. There's an old saying that says, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. In the simplest terms, it means that when we are receptive to learning, opportunities for learning present themselves. I also think there is an implied element of surprise and discovery in this saying, that our most profound and best learning may come in those aha moments when we find some closed-off part of ourselves suddenly and unexpectedly cracked open to people and ideas that seemed foreign to us before. When we discover that both the divine and the humble parts of our humanity are the threads that tie us all together. When we realize that our best teacher may not be the one we expected. I've discovered an unexpected teacher recently. Her name is Suhaima Manzoor Khan. Suhaima is a 22-year-old Cambridge University graduate, a third-generation Pakistani Muslim born in the United Kingdom. I'd like to share a portion of a poem she wrote and performed recently at a London poetry festival. It is entitled, Write a Humanizing Poem. Write a humanizing poem, my pen and paper tell me. Be relatable. Write something upbeat. Tell them you know brown-skinned boys who cry. Tell them about the complex inner worlds of people named Assad and Hassan. Tell them how full of life we are, how full of love. But no, I will not let that poem force me to write it. It's the poem I'm being reduced to. Reduced to proving my life is valuable because it's recognizable to you. So this is not a Muslims are like us poem. Instead, love us when we're poor. Love us when we're unwashed and weeping. Love us when we're unemployed and failing out of school. Love us without the right color passport or the right sounding English. Love us when we're wretched, suicidal, naked, and contributing nothing. Love us then. Because if you need me to prove my humanity, I'm not the one who's not fully human. Is this radical? Am I radical? This humanizing poem cracked me open to the real vulnerability, pain, rejection, and hatred our Muslim brothers and sisters experience in all parts of the world. And I imagine the Canaanite woman in today's gospel asking the same question that Suhaima asked in her poem. Am I radical? Am I radical to beg Jesus for mercy to heal my hurting child? Am I radical to risk being vulnerable in front of a powerful man who responds to me with an insult because of my culture and my gender? I say no. The Canaanite woman is not radical. She is human. And this is a humanizing gospel. Jesus had once again been explaining a parable to his disciples. He said, "It is not what goes out of into the mouth that defiles, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Jesus is telling the disciples how much words matter, how much words can hurt, that what comes out of their mouths comes from within their hearts, and it can be evil, like false witness, slander, bigotry, judgment. Then Jesus goes on to do the very thing he taught against. A Canaanite woman appears begging for mercy, and he refuses to engage with her. His disciples tell her to go away. They're annoyed by her shouting. Then Jesus rejects her outright. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, "You'll get no mercy from me. You are from the wrong tribe. You are a Gentile, not one of us." What a hurtful thing to hear. It is shocking and confusing because boundary crossing was what Jesus' ministry was all about. He was constantly crossing bodies of water. He was always going over to the other side. He kept entering towns and regions where society said, "Don't mix with this or that cultural or religious group." In this case, Jesus was in Gentile territory. Jesus often talked to women and allowed women to touch him. These were strict cultural taboos that he regularly broke. And whenever he did, he pointed to the greater truth of our common needs and desires for love and healing. But he wasn't doing it this time. Still, the Canaanite woman persisted. She kneels before him, "Lord, help me." And in her very moment of vulnerability, it seems that Jesus kicks her when she's down. "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs," he says. It's hard to believe this is Jesus talking. One scholar remarked that this is one incident in Jesus' life when he was caught with his compassion down. It begs us to ask, how can we reconcile a loving and compassionate Jesus with one who calls a woman a dog? And most biblical commentaries give no apology here. It carried the same level of insult then as it does today. There are some who argue that Jesus was testing the woman's faith, but why would he do this through hurtful actions and words, the very things he's just warned his disciples against? No, I believe this story, this humanizing gospel, is a stark reminder of the very humanity of Jesus himself. Jesus gets tired and drained from responding to the needs of so many people. At times, it was said, he could feel the power go out of him. Jesus needs time for solitude and prayer that he can't always find. Jesus contends with his contrary and sometimes slow-learning disciples. And in such moments, it seems that Jesus forgets that his mission is to bring the love of God, yes, to the lost sheep of Israel, and to the Gentiles, and to all those who are seen as the foreigner, the unclean, the outsider, In this moment, the very human Jesus gets frustrated and lashes out and loses sight of the larger truth. So where is the good news here? The good news is the very human Jesus allows himself to be changed and transformed by the words of another who in that moment held fast to the higher ground. "Yes, Lord," she said, "even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." This is an aha moment for Jesus, a moment in which he suddenly finds some closed off part of himself suddenly and unexpectedly cracked open. A moment when a Canaanite woman, whom society told him was too different and unrelatable, she reveals to him that both the divine and the humble parts of our humanity are the threads that tie us all together. The good news is that the very human Jesus had a heart that could be moved and a mind that could be stretched to see and feel the perspective of someone on the other side of racial, cultural, gender, and economic divisions that society put in place. This so-called foreign woman, a woman who lacked power and advantage in her society, she reminds Jesus that he indeed has it within him to extend hope and healing to her and her suffering child. And he does. It is Jesus who changes. The Canaanite woman is the teacher he didn't expect. Can we allow ourselves to do the same, to be cracked open, stretched, and moved to compassion and mercy to those who cry out for compassion and mercy, even, perhaps especially, when we perceive them as being the other? On the day before violence erupted in Virginia, the Baltimore Sun published a letter written by Eugene and Chilton, our diocesan bishops, as well as Bill Gohl, the Lutheran bishop of the Delaware, Maryland Synod. The letter was to appeal for retaining the program known as Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. DACA allows young people to live and work legally in the United States without fear of being deported to countries ravaged by gang violence and other serious dangers. This came in the wake of the sudden deportation of two El Salvadoran brothers, ages 19 and 22, who were working and living legally here in Baltimore. It's possible the bishop's letter was overshadowed by the events in Charlottesville, and it is well worth our hearing it in these uneasy times. It said in part, and I quote, "Anti-immigrant rhetoric would have us believe that detentions and deportations serve to protect our nation. But we must ask, why must we be protected from young men and women pursuing a brighter future for their families? DACA simply allows so many who already know the U.S. as home to pursue the same educational and career opportunities as their non-immigrant peers. We unite as faith communities across traditions and act upon our moral obligation to welcome the stranger and uphold the dignity of all people. The current anti-immigrant sentiment taking root in our nation is a test of our faith. Do we give in to nationalism and bigoted self-interest, or do we choose to love our immigrant neighbors and abide by our calling so that they may continue to live peacefully among us? Our Christian faith demands that we choose the latter. Amen.